The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" And they replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It is a great gospel today to help bring us to the truth, the master plan, to remind us of our origin and destiny, the owner's manual, if you will, how we were brought about, put together, and how we properly operate if we but follow the order in which we were created. We must renew our minds in the Word of God. It is also a great gospel to set us out on a journey this month as we celebrate Respect Life Month. 40 Days for Life, The Life Chain, Baby Bottle Drive, Voting for Life are some of the ways we can support life. And next Sunday, after the 11:15 Mass, the Knights of Columbus are throwing a baby shower for all our spiritual adopted children. Whether you adopted a child or not, you are welcome to join in the festivities as we celebrate and support life. There will also be a rosary rally next Saturday at 2 p.m. across from Riverside Market on M57 as we pray for the life of our country and the life of the world. You are more than welcome to come join us in praying the rosary. Owner's manuals are good. They help explain to us how things work and how they run. And they troubleshoot when they don't work. When I was but a young lad, back in 1982, I bought my first car, a 1977 Chevy Monza. Pretty proud of that. Milestone for me that brought it home. Told my dad about it, and this is what I told him. I said, "I bought my first car." "Oh, great. Doesn't go over 35 miles an hour. What's wrong with it?" I said, "I don't know." But my dad knows that the only thing I knew about cars was where to put the oil and where to put the gas and the water, and that was it. So I asked him if I could use the garage to take the engine apart, see what was wrong with it. Well, he just retired, and he was going to use the garage as a workshop, but I talked him into it, and he said, "As long as you're out by the fall." So I put the car in the garage, pulled the engine out, and I took it apart. Every nut and bolt, every piston, ring, had it all laid out on the garage floor, and I couldn't find out what the problem was. So I put it all back together the same way I took it apart and did it all without an owner's manual. And it fired right up. "Oh, great, it works." Got over the first step, took it out on the road, no faster than 35 miles an hour. Okay, so I took it to a garage to see if they knew what was wrong with it, and the quotes I got for it were for a blown rod. So they wanted around $3,000 to get it fixed. I took it to three different places, and they all quoted the same thing. And I told them, no, it's not a rod, because I took it apart and put it back together. The rods were fine. So I found a garage in Gaines. The guy was working out of his garage. And he said, leave it here overnight, and I'll take a look at it. I said, okay. So he called me in the morning, and he said, it's all fixed. I said, wow. I said, something that was that serious, you know, what was wrong with it? And he said, I'll show you when you get here. So I got there, and if you know anything about cars, you know what I'm talking about, but if you don't, bear with me. When I took it apart, the pressure plate was off the flywheel by a quarter inch. So when I put it back together, I put the pressure plate on the flywheel, quarter inch apart. Well, the faster you would go, the more it would expand, and it would hit the bell housing. And that was making it, when it got up to about 35 miles an hour, making that noise. So he said, all I had to do was tighten down the pressure plate. No charge. So it saved me $3,000, and I got a car that could go somewhere. But it would have been good to have an owner's manual to help me out. It would have made my task a little easier. But I suppose you are all too familiar with the way of man. But we know that by reading this owner's manual, that all that God created was good. Right, men? And that evil came into the world through our exercise of free will, our hardened hearts, if you will. Satan began it all by denying to worship God. Not for me to worship thee was his motto. In so doing, he set the spiritual battle between good and evil. But what is this battle over? Who or what is Satan fighting for? The Democrats or the Republicans? The left or the right? To be vaccinated or unvaccinated? For the rich or for the poor? For male or female? For homosexuality or heterosexuality, for Black Lives Matter or white privilege, for slavery or freedom, communism or capitalism? Do we honestly believe that he cares about one side or the other? No, he cares not for one side or the other. His strategy is in the division itself. That is what makes distraction a great part of Satan's battle plan. He knows a house divided cannot stand. Certainly, Satan uses all these things to get our attention, but the battle is not over these things. We must constantly remind ourselves it is over what is eternal, and that is you and I and our children. Because we concern ourselves with those things that are not eternal, Satan has become very successful in keeping us divided. This is why the church cries out for unity. Jesus prayed that we all may be one, and we must strive for that with every fiber of our being. That is, give it all to God, and we shall share in his victory. This owner's manual is our beloved instructions before leaving earth. It is our beloved instructions in the battle for life eternal. In the beginning, we were created to be with God, and we rejected him through our free will in the temptation of Satan. We were made to be with God as a new creation through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and we nailed him to a cross. We were made to be with God for all eternity at Jesus' second coming. May we all be unified before that time comes. In our second reading in the letter to the Hebrews, we get a glimpse of the meaning of our origin, our creation, that we heard in our first reading from Genesis. For it was fitting that he for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Why is Satan so focused on distracting the Christian from the truth? Because he knows that the cross is not only the victory of Christ over death, but that the cross is his death. He knows that when the cross is lifted up with the Son of Man on it, that all will be drawn to Christ, and Satan will have lost the battle for what is eternal. Us, mankind, who is made in the image and likeness of God. For the last couple of weeks, we read from the 9th chapter of Mark about what Jesus thinks of the little ones, the children. Today, we read, "Let the children come to me, do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Last week we heard, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." And the week before we read, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." My brothers and sisters, let me remind you that we are children of God. So Satan attacks what is eternal, us, from conception to natural death. He attacks us with abortion at the beginning of life, the ultimate sacrifice to the self, therefore an abomination to God. He attacks us with euthanasia at the end of life. The taking of a life is a definite false compassion, therefore an abomination to God. And he attacks us at every point in between. And what better way is there for Satan to fight this battle than to call what is good evil and what is evil good? He attacks God, in whose image we were created, and the grace of God given to us in the sacraments. He attacks baptism in tempting us to believe that it's just a rite of passage. He attacks the confessional in tempting us to believe that we do not have to confess our sins. He attacks the Eucharist in tempting us to believe that it's just a piece of bread. He attacks confirmation in tempting us to believe that we are finished with our spiritual growth. He attacks marriage, of which we hear in the gospel today, in tempting us to believe that what God joined together, we can separate. He attacks holy orders by tempting us to believe that the priest is just another man and not a work of God. He attacks extreme unction, our last rites, the anointing of the sick, in tempting us to believe that death is the end. In the gospel today, the Pharisees are testing Jesus when they ask of him about the law of Moses regarding divorce. They were masters at causing divisions and creating distractions and setting traps to serve the will of man and to put God aside. Jesus admonished them and said, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." Aren't owner's manuals wonderful? It is because of the hardness of our hearts that we are writing laws that are not of God, but of man. There is hope, though. St. Paul says that where sin abounds, the grace of God abounds even more. If we were to read this gospel over again in the light of an owner's manual, we would come to the conclusion that marriage is made to last, that children were meant to be born, that families are made to be together, that honoring your father and your mother will bring long life, that raising children in the way they should go will perpetuate the children of God. For the psalmist says, "Blessed are you who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine, your children like olive plants. Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord." Make no mistake, we are in a battle for our eternity. The temptations of Satan are strong and will be a stronghold on us if we neglect our owner's manual on our souls. Today, Satan wants us to believe that politics is something else than a distraction, that the pandemic is something else other than a distraction, that wealth is something other than a distraction, that gender is something other than a distraction, that being woke is something other than a distraction. Satan gives us all this for our soul. The church has nothing to give but Christ himself. We receive our identity from Christ, through whom all things were created, including us. We were created to be saints. This is our destiny. Saints walk away from the lure of the world and find their identity in Christ. They are baptized into the body of Christ. They confess their sinfulness to be washed in the blood of Christ. They receive him body and blood, soul and divinity in the Eucharist. They participate in the life of the church, the bride of Christ. In marriage, they reflect the love of Christ for his church. In the person of Christ, they are Christ to us. They receive Christ as they journey home to him. This is our owner's manual. This is from the beginning. This is God's word. We cannot rewrite it. We cannot change it. We cannot interpret it to be anything else but the living word of God. It will teach us about politics, how to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. It will teach us how to live a healthy life, how man cannot live on bread alone, but by the every word that comes from the word of God, from the mouth of God. It will teach us about wealth and how to store our treasures in heaven. It will teach us about our sexuality, how procreation is a participation in the grace of God inside the sacraments. It will teach us about equality in loving our neighbor and our enemies as he has loved us. It will teach us about the brotherhood of the human race in sharing in Christ's divinity when we are drawn to him. May our journey in life put Satan aside and bring us to our end in the Master's plan. Please pick up your owner's manual and figure out how you are to properly operate in the plan of our Creator.